This morning I want to talk about victorious Christian living. Hopefully it's something you're all passionate about, committed to, and want to learn more. This was a message was birthed out of the testimony of the Christian Aid missionaries and their experience in Haiti. We've been praying for them for 8 weeks as a church and worldwide. I believe there were prayers, and the church at large was engaged together in prayer. And God delivered them miraculously. We got to hear firsthand the story. I don't know what your experience was listening to it, if you heard it, but there were times that I had to cry as I listened to that story in joy, as I thought about how God worked in that situation. Miracles happen today, and if that's not enough of God performing miracles, I don't know what else you need. It's a way that God allowed, through His sovereign will, people about His work and about His will and about mission work, about doing good, and allowed them into the hands of the devil for a season. And they found themselves among Satan worshipers and evil and satanic things, and yet they kept their faith. They have a story to tell. And I want that for each of us. Not to experience that. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But sometimes to be great in God's eyes and to be really strong and powerful, the stories you read about in the past of great men of God, we would love that. But many times we don't see what they had to go through and what God allowed in their lives. God allowed Israel to be in Egypt for 400 years. And I read that story many, many times. And I always ask, why 400 years in Egypt? Can you just feel some of their experience? And yet the miraculous deliverance, how the whole world at that time stood back in amazement and awe at the power of God. This great God that we serve. And I think that was somewhat the experience as the whole world heard the story of their deliverance. There's also some stories going around that counter the true story. First-hand story. And there's others saying they paid a ransom when... It's sad. They're denying the power of God. Willingly ignorant. Many are falling into that. But I want to just share how God has been working in my life and through this experience, and how it really touched me. It really did. And hopefully it can be a blessing to each of us as a church this morning. As I thought of a New Year's message, I thought this would be good. Goal for all of us. Just to say, let's be victorious. And let's be faithful. And let's grow strong. And let's allow God to really work in our lives. Because I believe He's looking for people like that. So a New Year's message and looking forward and looking back, I tend to do that. I look back at 2019, and the greatest memory for my experience was a 3-week sickness, a virus that I had, and many of you remember that, followed with pneumonia, and I was down and out for 3 weeks. And I just praised God again and again. Most times when I wake up, I just thank the Lord for a peaceful night of rest. And the ability to lay down and rest. And when you don't have that privilege, you remember that So I just thought that was just something I'm praising God for, healing. And then 2020, of course, was COVID-19. That was a test for all of us. God allowed that to happen, and God has been working through that. And then 2021, I'm looking back over 2021, I was trying to put it in a nutshell, and probably my struggle was volatility. Just everything all over the place and trying to figure things out. And that's not, maybe you can handle that, but for me, it was just a real test to just make decisions amongst all this volatility. In 2022, God only knows what God has in store for us. And most likely all of you have experiences looking back that have impacted you, and looking forward, hopefully all of those experiences have impacted you and brought you to a place of deeper faith and a deeper relationship with God, because I believe that's what God wants. To trust Him in sickness, to trust Him in hardship. When I got the call that I was to kill half of my chickens, and I will admit and acknowledge that that was a test. It was good for me. Looking back, that was a good test. I had to just put everything on the altar and trust God. And then all the challenges that we went through this last year. So the first point that I have 5 points that I want to touch on. And they're very simplistic, but yet very profound. And the first one that I thought of is the importance to know God, have a relationship with God. So point one is knowing God and having a relationship with God. Whatever comes into your life, it is so important that we have a relationship with God, and that God's presence is in your life, and that you know God. Not just know about God, but you have a relationship. And that makes all the difference. How people respond to struggles in life, and how people respond to setbacks in life, and how people respond to tragedies and whatever it is in our life. If we know God, we have a relationship with God, that makes all the difference. And I want to use the verse from John 17:1, where Jesus said just before his death, he said, these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So there we have the prayer of Jesus, and his prayer was that we would all know him. This is eternal life, that we would know God and experience God. I've said already that many people will miss heaven by 18 inches. From the head to the heart, they know about God, and they know there's a God in heaven. They know that God created the world, and they know there's a Savior, Jesus Christ. Many know that, but many never have experienced a heart experience where Jesus is center of their heart, and they really experience the presence of God. And so that's the first challenge for myself and for all of us to really experience that on a deeper level. I believe that can grow, and we can know God in a more personal way all through our Christian experience. And trials and hardships have a way of either drawing us closer to God or further away. And so let's all come closer to God and set a goal for this year. Whatever God has in store for us, whatever it is, that we would know God and experience God. He is a very present help in trouble. He's very close. We heard that from the experience of the missionaries. They were about God's work in the point of danger, but they were coming back out. Suddenly there was a Satanist driving, overtook their van and took them way out into their camp. And so I was touched by his testimony. He said they were planning on having communion the next day as staff. And he said that was the best preparation for communion I had ever had. Looking down the barrel of a gun. I was like, wow. I don't know if I want a preparation like that before communion, but I can say amen. I know what he's saying. After that experience, he had faith in God looking down the barrel of a gun, a loaded gun, I'm sure. And so let's just let that impact us. That was a testimony, a very powerful testimony of victorious Christian living. So we might know God, experience God. And secondly, along that line, keeping God in his rightful place. I think that is a challenge in our Christian life, is to keep God number one in our lives and to give God his rightful place in our lives. Let him be Lord of our lives and let him work in our lives and let him have his way with his people and have his way with our church and have his way in each of our lives. Giving God his rightful place. And if we lose possessions, if we lose our flock of chickens, if we lose our income or whatever it is, God is sovereign and he has a plan. So number two is knowing who you are in Christ. Your identity needs to be found in Christ. And I believe these last years in many ways have been an identity test. They have been an identity test for me. And I shared several messages along that line following that experience. Our identity test is good. And to think about who we are in Christ and to know for sure that you're a child of God. I believe that this is important. And from what I have heard from the missionaries, they had that faith, and I'm sure it was tested, and we didn't hear all the struggles that came about in that experience with the group together collectively, but they came to that place where they struggled through that together, and they knew who they were in Christ. And that is before anyone is ready for any ministry or any mission work or any part of the kingdom of God, ministry in the kingdom of God. We need to know and memorize and claim John 1:12. I love that verse where Jesus said, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so I believe that there is a verse that we should memorize. We should claim that. The verse before that, it says that he came unto his own. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him and believed on him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. And so that's who we are. In Christ, we are children of God, and we're born of him, and we're in him. And so we have our relationship is found in him. So I believe if we're questioning that, and I believe there is a battle that we face with assurance of salvation. I believe that's a real battle that all of us can relate to. Satan likes to work against the work of God and bring us to the place where we question our relationship with God, and we question. And if we're living in a state of unbelief, we cannot claim the power and experience the full flowing power that comes through a relationship with Christ. So, praise God. I want us all to remember and to be grounded even more and more, to drive a stake. I believe it's important to drive a stake and keep driving that stake deeper and deeper, and we make that claim of faith that we have experienced Christ and we're growing in Christ and we're a child of God. And no matter what comes, that is the test. There's many promises that we could look at, but just knowing who you are, knowing God and knowing who you are in Christ. The third one is knowing God's power. Knowing and experiencing God's power. First John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So there we have the powers of the kingdom of light and the powers of the kingdom of darkness. And we are on the winning side. So if we have Christ on our side, we have Christ living in us, and we are in him, we have the power. The power. And in Philippians 3:10, it says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. So we would know this power and experience this power. This was the part of the story that I believe impacted me the most. As you have the kingdom of darkness coming in confrontation with the kingdom of light, and I would really love to know what all went through the minds of those Satanists that were guards and all of those working there to hold them captive. Some of the little glimpses I heard, they were scared. I believe they witnessed a greater power, and they saw this power struggle, and the first thing that happened, they faced intense spiritual warfare with the children. And I have been in situations like that, and sometimes I know how exhausting it is. He said after fighting that for a few days, it was simply exhausting as they fought the spiritual battle and faced intense warfare. But the powerful testimony is after fighting the good fight of faith and remaining steadfast and fighting spiritual warfare with the weapons that God gives us, the weapons are our faith and prayer. Ephesians 6 says that we have the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. So we have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. We need to know who we are. We have the shield of faith whereby we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that's a pretty powerful weapon we have. We just have this faith out here as a shield. And the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, all the weapons that are given to us in Ephesians 6, they're not carnal or of the flesh, but they're weapons that are spiritual. And the power of God is witnessed through those weapons. So they knew how to stand up against the devil and rebuke the devil. And I want to encourage all of you to know and experience the power in Jesus' name. And there are times when this is in order, and as he was sharing his testimony, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord, Jesus. Get back. And we have that authority, and we have in Jesus' name the devil, that his power was stopped. They were trying to harm them, and they had no power over the weapons that they used. So experiencing God, knowing God's power, this is available for every one of us. This is not something way out there that only few can experience, but this is really available for all of us. So let's be strong in the Lord and live this out. Rebuking the devil, if ever in need to do that, praying together. One of the things that they did that I questioned and thought about for quite a while, and the more I thought about it, it was the right thing to do. But they had this bottle with the devil's power in it, whatever it had in it, this bottle that was placed there, and it was their magical weapon that released the devil's power for them. And they had it right in their presence, and they met as a group, and they decided, let's get rid of this. And the two of the men said, well, do you want the privilege to do it? Glendon, go ahead, get rid of it. And so they agreed together, yes. Took the bottle and threw it out of there. And so I believe there are times when we can step right into the devil's turf and take authority over the devil and rebuke the devil and get rid of the evil. And that's what they did, and they couldn't, it had no power over them. All this satanic music and satanic worship and witchcraft does not stop God's power, but rather, in situations like that, it can release God's power, and God's power is ever present, stronger and closer than ever. And that's what just impacted me again. It's not that I have never experienced this in my life, fighting battles, not to this degree, but I've been in situations, prison ministry, in different times where we had to take authority over the devil and stand strong and to witness the power of God in a way like that. So let's be encouraged together by that testimony of how the power of God was very present and defeated the enemy. Point four is the power of unity. And this one we could spend a lot of time at, but I was really touched, and as I thought through 17 missionaries, I don't know how close they knew each other or if they were from how much diversity was in that group, but suddenly they found themselves together. They had a little church plant, suddenly bang, there they were, and God orchestrated all of that. And I think they struggled, and he did share some of the struggles that they had in planning and deciding what to do. And you could tell that there were several of the men that gave leadership to the group. Sam was definitely one of them. As I heard his story, he was a leader. But all of them came together, and they worked together. The unity of the Spirit was there. Now there's something different in the unity of the Spirit and the Spirit of unity. You hear a lot of the Spirit of unity. And that's not what I'm talking about here this morning. The Spirit of unity is just, hey, everybody gets along and nobody stands up for anybody. Everybody comes together in this great fuzzy feeling of everybody just never having an argument or never having a disagreement. That's not what I'm talking about. The Spirit of unity is what is bringing together the ecumenical false church. We don't want to go there, but the unity of the Spirit is something powerful and much different than the Spirit of unity. The unity of the Spirit is when the Spirit unites people together. The power and presence of the Spirit of God working in a collective group is very powerful. And it's something we need to work at and work for. I believe Satan wants to destroy this unity of the Spirit, because it's very powerful, and that's why you have so much struggles. The church at large is just, there's this struggle to unite like these missionaries did. They had to unite in how to respond to these Satanists that we come in and command that they shut the music off. I'm glad they didn't do that. And just all of these things, they had to come together, and ultimately they had to come to a unified escape plan. And you think that through, a group of 17, and then down to, 12, where they all had to come to the place. First of all, they all had to surrender and be willing to die. And that was a collective effort where they all, and he shared, it was not something that they all came together at the same time. The leader, I'm sure I could tell that he was very strong. And a couple of times he said, "I'm going. You guys want to stay? Stay. I'm going tomorrow." And then he come back and said, "No, that's not right. There's children." And he acknowledged that wasn't right. We're doing this together. And they wrestled in prayer, and they struggled together to come to a unified plan the night, and they had details together, and all that was very powerful. And I could tell when he was sharing, he said there is power in unity. Unity of the Spirit is powerful, and it conquered the devil that night. They all had to be willing to die and put themselves in God's protection and be strong in faith. And they all had to trust that God would work out the details. Many details. They just trusted God. This is going to be a work of God. And they planned the night and they planned all the details. And yet he said when it came, you know, one of them made noise at the wrong time, and I was trying to think how I would have responded to that. "Brian, you ruined the plan. We had this all together, and you alerted them." And they came to a surrenderness. "Well, if this is not the time, this noise was of God. This was all, every step of the way was of God." And they came to that place. It was so powerful to hear that part of the story. They were all surrendered. They were all faith, filled with faith, and they all were together. The power of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. And this is a lesson for me to work hard at the unity of the Spirit, because there's power in a collective faith. It takes work in marriages. It takes work in families. It takes work in churches. It takes work to work at unity of the Spirit and let God's Spirit come into the center of our group. And I believe that Satan wants to destroy this unity. So let's allow this to be a challenge to our lives. Work hard, very hard. If we're ever put into something like that, let's be committed now and always to work hard to experience the unity of the Spirit. So as we enter into a new year, you may wonder, what will this year be like? What will be the tests and challenges of this year? And I'm glad I don't know. God doesn't work that way where he lays it all out. Okay, this year you're going to have this, this, and this. And you're going to be tested here, here, and here. And he just wants us to live and walk by faith every day. And to experience God close. So I believe the most important thing as we face the new year and face the future is to recognize that the most important thing is for us to know God personally, to have a relationship with God that's growing. Whatever you're going through in your life and whatever God has for you, nurture and cultivate a close relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can say you know him. And you can claim the promises that God is very present in help of in time of trouble. He's a very present help in time of trouble. So he's very close. If any of us would be called to something like that, God is there. He always is there. He's very close. He's very present. It's not like God is distant. It's not like God just allowed this to happen and he watched from heaven. No, he was right there in that van. He was right there in that group. He was right there. He was working in their lives, and he has received glory through the lives of those missionaries because of that experience, and that's what God wants to do. So let's make this commitment to just know God personally and better. Secondly, we need to know who we are in Christ. It's very, very important to know that you're a child of God and that you wrestle through your struggles and doubts and unbelief. And maybe we have questions we don't understand. Everything that's going on in our life, we have questions for God. I've had some people tell me that when they get to heaven, they have some questions they want to ask God. I just don't understand this. God, why did you allow this? And God, they're just struggling. They haven't come through to the place where they can just surrender to whatever God has for our lives. And to know that we're in Christ, to have your identity in Christ Jesus, and you know that he gives us authority and he gives us power and he gives us a victory and he will go with us. Thirdly, we need to know and experience the power of God over Satan. Every one of us that comes into the family of God have, first of all, won the battle against sin. The power and control of sin is broken at the cross. It's not eradicated, but it's broken. And we can experience putting sin behind us and allowing that control to be gone. And we can reach out by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and experience his power on a daily basis. Just working, bringing deliverance, moving mountains in our life. And so many things we could talk about in relation to the power of God. But I want that for each one of you and myself, to know, as Paul said, the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. That was a challenge to me to think about that. That we can identify and relate to the power and the fellowship of his sufferings. And lastly, we need to know and work at the power of the unity of the Spirit. There's power in the unity of the Spirit. Collective faith is powerful, and Satan knows that and wants to destroy that. We're living in an individualistic age. And that has gripped my life more than I would like to admit. Thinking about this, if something doesn't just seem right for me, and I can just go, we have most times the money to do it, and we have the ability to just go somewhere else and whatever, but to know and work at the power of the unity of the Spirit in marriages, families. Sometimes we struggle with each other and in family settings, but then it just wouldn't seem right for anyone of the family to leave, because we're here by God's design. So we work at this together. Churches and missionaries, I believe this is one of the strongest tools of the devil to destroy the power of the unity of the Spirit, this powerful collective faith that moves mountains. That the devil stands back as he sees this powerful army of soldiers in Christ Jesus marching forward. And that's what I want. A year or two ago, the men from church here met for a men's meeting to discuss what is the proper response if someone tries to harm or has evil intent to harm or kill or take life. If we're ever caught in a situation like that, how should we as Christians respond? And it was a good discussion. I'm sure you men all remember that. For me, it was good. And we concluded with a prompt song and a song that is somewhat a theme song for our church. And I praise God many times that we came together with this song. And I want to sing it as we close. It's "We've Got the Power." And I want to just remind all of us, kind of keep this as our theme song wherever your life, where God leads you in your life. Remember these words. They're powerful. And sing it. There's power in singing. So let's stand together and we'll sing that song. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, let that song be a testimony of our faith. God, I thank you and praise you that you have answered our prayers and the missionaries are free. I thank you and praise you for being a loving, powerful God that we serve. And I pray that this message could go to the world. Those that are struggling with non-resistance, those that are struggling with the times we're living in, those that are struggling in many ways, Father, I pray that you would release a power like this among the church today. Father, unify our hearts, strengthen our faith, and Father, I pray that we together could go into this year with a strong faith, knowing you as our God. We could all together know that we're in Jesus Christ. We could all together know the power of the resurrection and the power of God. And that we all together could be unified in the unity of the Spirit. Father, bless our church. As we are evangelistic and reach out, I pray that you would minister to us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.